Good morning. Time now for the regular roundup of war news with reports direct from the various capitals of the world. Our on-the-scene correspondents are standing by ready with direct coverage from the Mid-Pacific, from London, and from our nation's capital in Washington. First, from our San Francisco newsroom, here are the latest reports from the Far East. The Japanese are acknowledging officially today to have made some headway at some points on Java, bringing to bear their numerical superiority, especially in planes, against an heroic defense which had held them in check since Sunday. The enemy inroads indicate no radical change as yet in the situation, in which the Dutch and their allies had shown sufficient power yesterday to press the invaders back in one sector. The resistance still is stubborn and in offensive spirit, but the Dutch already have carried out the principal destruction in Java to prevent its rich resources from falling into enemy hands. There is no indication whether the new Japanese penetrations have been stopped, nor any details either of their depth or direction. A war bulletin reported heavy Dutch aerial blows against the enemy's air power. Serious damage was inflicted on hangars at a Japanese-held airport, and a number of enemy bombers have been machine-gunned. In a Japanese attempt to raid Bandung Monday, the enemy lost four bombers and one fighter or bomber, and was so heavily punished that he gave up the attack. The one-and-a-half-hour raid on Bandung yesterday, however, is acknowledged to have caused military as well as civilian damage and to have set fire to some grounded Dutch planes. Two Japanese bombers were shot down. The reports from Burma indicate that action on that front has temporarily stalled due to stubborn British land resistance. The Japanese are reported to be awaiting the arrival of reinforcements. Informed quarters believe it will be at least a week before the Japanese, crippled by recent heavy losses, can renew their attack. British reinforcements are also expected, and the Allied cause will be further aided by the rainy season, which is rapidly approaching. That's the news of the Far East. Now we take you to the Mid-Pacific. Go ahead, Hawaii.
This is Jim Wall speaking from KGU in Honolulu.
It is 2:32 Wednesday morning in Hawaii. Because of the absolute necessity for secrecy to ensure that nothing of that advantage reaches our enemies, people in Hawaii know no more about the affairs of the United States Pacific Fleet than do people on the mainland several thousand miles away. Rumors and unconfirmed reports are heavily frowned upon here, more so probably than elsewhere. The saying that a slip of the lip may sink a ship has an especially ominous meaning in these mid-Pacific islands. The Navy has obviously been very busy in the past weeks. Offensive action has already been taken. It was not long ago that a task force of the fleet made a daring raid into the heart of the fortified Japanese-mandated islands, destroying widely scattered air bases and shipping concentrated there. We've just received reports of a new action in the South Pacific by another task force of the fleet. The action was west of the Gilbert Islands. It was in the northern Gilberts that the fleet made its attack early in February. Thus, this new action has taken place near the heart of the Japanese-mandated islands, north of New Guinea. You've heard some of the results of this action. Our task force met Japanese aerial attackers, shooting down 16 of 18 Jap bombers. Since Sunday's air raid alarm, which lasted for 42 minutes, islanders have been going ahead with their detailed preparations against air attack. The latest wrinkle is the organization of a so-called Block Mother Corps to protect children during a raid. The Block Mothers will serve like air raid wardens and keep an eye open for lost or strayed youngsters during an emergency. The children are already getting their special junior gas masks and identification tags. Hawaii is feeling the wartime pinch of necessary shortages, ranging from rubber bands and canned dog food to gasoline. The latter is probably more serious than elsewhere, since all motor fuel must be transported nearly 2,500 miles from the West Coast, and a large amount of it is needed by the Army and Navy in the islands. People in Honolulu are walking a lot more than they ever did before. They realize, too, that an even more stringent rationing is necessary. Food prices are generally higher here than on the mainland, but then they always have been because of the cost of transporting food here. Hawaii by no means is self-sustaining. So far as food is concerned, her basic crops are still sugar and pineapple, and these would make a very monotonous diet in the long run. But food is coming in regularly with the convoys. One thing we don't worry about down here, that's a clothing shortage. We don't care if they eliminate double-breasted coats in the mainland or make the pants narrower or eliminate the trouser cut. We've virtually eliminated trousers.
I don't mean to say that we're all going to work these days in grass skirts or loincloths, but clothes are one worry we don't have in this war. I'll return you to San Francisco.
That was Jim Wall speaking from Honolulu. From San Francisco, we take you now across the continent to our newsroom in New York.
Now, here in New York, we have news from Moscow. The Soviet armies are breaking that ring of Nazis which have held the Leningrad area besieged. Moscow says that 50 centers of German resistance have fallen in the last few hours of fighting, and 650 Nazis were killed in this fighting, the Reds say. An earlier communique told of 3,400 Germans killed in 2 days of fighting in two sectors above Moscow. Now another on-the-spot report. This time we go across the Atlantic to John McVain in London.
This is London. It's stated in London that the RAF attack on Paris factories working for Germany was carried out in perfect weather last night. Important targets were identified and bombed accurately. The raid was confined almost entirely to the Reynaud works, and no bombs were dropped in Paris itself. Although the attack lasted less than 2 hours and the force employed was not exceptionally large, results are believed to have been exceptionally good. In view of the use to which the Nazis were putting the Reynaud factory, the British hope the raid will be of material assistance to our ally Russia. It's known here that the Reynaud works have been making and repairing tanks, trucks, and aero engines for Germany. Constant requests have reached London from Frenchmen living in Paris. They've told of the activity of the factories and asked the RAF to bomb them. For some time, the British radio has been warning Frenchmen not to work in factories making war material for Germany because those factories were going to be attacked. Major Lloyd George's speech in the House of Commons yesterday underlined what most people have been expecting for some time, a new cut in food rations. The British haven't had any details of the shipping situation for some months, but most people feel it's critical. And when it comes to using ships to carry guns or butter, they know that we're in a situation that demands the guns. The British are willing to make new sacrifices, but they feel keenly that that sacrifice should be shared equally by all sections of the population. That's why there's been so much complaint against the black market operators. The black market is briefly this. Racketeers buy up secretly stocks of rationed foods. They do it illegally, and they sell it illegally to the highest bidder, restaurant and hotel owners usually, who are ready to risk a fine to provide their customers with meals of the pre-war type. You see, the person who suffers most is the poor man who eats at home. His wife is allowed to buy only about, say, 20 cents worth of meat a week for each member of the family. Perhaps sometimes her butcher tells her he just hasn't got even that 20 cents worth to sell. When she hears of black market men stealing or buying up big quantities of meat, she's likely to feel that the black market is robbing her own family. The working man knows that if he could spend $5 for a meal, he could get a luxurious one in the best London hotels and restaurants. And while he knows this, he's often outspoken in saying that the type of rationing Britain has had up to now penalizes the poor, and not the rich who can afford to dine out every evening. Up to now, many black marketeers have risked breaking the law because they could afford to pay the comparatively light fines that have been dealt out. But it's reported that the new government regulations will provide for sentences of 10 years and more in prison for convicted black market operators. It's reported, too, that a special detective force is being created to stamp out the racket. The Board of Trade, the Ministry of Food, and the Petroleum Department are said to be contributing men to the force, which will work under control of a senior Scotland Yard detective. The British press today is calling for hard and rapid thinking by the government to close all loopholes that permit the market to operate. A Daily Mirror columnist sums up general feeling by saying, "We're all in the same boat, and if the ship goes down, we all go down together. The trouble is that some sail first class and some sail steerage." He says, "I want something like a common standard of living for a common emergency, and I want something like a common reward for those who do their duty, and penal servitude for those who don't." As a matter of interest, you might like to know that British experts believe the German black market is much more widespread and active than its British counterpart. In spite of the fact that the Germans have gone as far as the death penalty, their black marketeers still flourish. Ration cards are being forged, and under-counter food sales are very common. On the German black market, for instance, coffee sells at anywhere from $6 to $12 a pound. Meat is about $2 and a quarter a pound on the black market, although the German control price is only about 22 cents a pound. Butter is about $5 a pound as compared with the control price of 45 cents a pound. This is John McVain in London, returning you to New York.
Next, let's switch to our own capital and to Earl Godwin, speaking from the newsroom in Washington.
And good morning, folks. Here it is, March 4th, old-style inauguration day, and the New Deal starts its 10th year today. And the White House is blacked out in a war of defense and offense that is likely to see the national capital the object of a good bombing raid anytime soon. One reason I say that is because there's a definite military reason. Authorities here say that the Axis is trying desperately to harry and scare us into keeping our fleet and our armies at home so that we cannot send force and forces to the battlefields around the world. These submarine attacks that you read about close to our shores, close to our continent, are looked on here as suicidal, scary, rather showy attempts without real military or naval justification. They follow the stuff and the pattern that the Germans tried to pull in the beginning of the First World War, to sink a ship now and then close to our own harbors, but it doesn't work, it doesn't scare us a bit. We had a complete all-night blackout in the metropolitan area of the national capital last night. It started at 8 o'clock in the evening and ended at 6 a.m. this morning. It extended far out into the Maryland and Virginia suburbs, blacking out an area of 1 million people. It was a perfect success from an organization standpoint. It tried out, it showed up the far-flung air raid warden and the auxiliary police organization here as perfect, but it also showed that the much-discussed Office of Civilian Defense, which is the heart and soul of the organization of against raids in this country, has not made much, if any, arrangements for blacking out its own windows, its own offices, where clerks are really working far into the night. And as I say, the authorities here expect Washington will be raided just as an extension of this attempt to scare us into keeping the troops and the Navy at home. I think there's something like, a little bit like rushing the season in the appearance of Secretary of Treasury Morgenthau before a congressional committee yesterday advocating doubled income taxes for next year, right at this time when most people in America are headachy over the size of the tax they will have to pay within 11 days. As one of my colleagues says ruefully, when you go to figure out your income tax this time, you will think you are two or three other people. But however, you know, Henry Morgenthau, friend of mine as he is, has never been noted for his knowledge of proper timing. He's going to have a battle on his hands if he sticks to his doubled income tax idea, because some people don't agree with him. There's a definite view on Capitol Hill in some quarters in Congress, which sets the taxes after all, that the time has now come to lay off the middle-class American family and try some general sales taxes, which spread high and low and are never kicked about wherever they have been tried out according to their friends. The president, however, is dead set against the principle of sales taxes. Well, here's Leon Henderson, the price boss, warning us that we face an inflationary era because we're going to earn $15 billion with which we cannot buy anything. And all the while, Mr. Morgenthau is sitting there on the Treasury steps saying, if you can't spend it, I can take it in taxes. And it looks like a tough couple of years for anybody with a spare couple of dollars. Well, just to end this morning with a smile, let me tell you a story that's going around Washington. It may be true or it may not, but it's the story of General MacArthur's reaction. General MacArthur, you know who he is, his reaction to that Los Angeles tale of 15 unidentified planes that brought out the anti-aircraft guns in a conflict of fire and a conflict of fact and opinion between Secretaries Knox and Stimson. The story is that General MacArthur immediately cabled the War Department in Washington, if you boys can hold the West Coast for a month, I'll send you some reinforcements. And that's all from Washington at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Here in New York, a late dispatch from London. Sharp Allied air attacks have slowed the Japanese drive across Burma, and the Japs are being held practically at a standstill. This concludes the morning roundup. For the latest news, keep tuned to this station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.